You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of Independent Waters. I am your host, Mikey Manfredi, and with me, as always, is the co-host among all other co-hosts of this show, Zach Batista. Zach, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I wish that made any sort of sense, the thing I just said.
It's the thought that counts.
This is true. I'm doing pretty great. I got some great matches this week that I'm very, very excited to show you and review for our lovely, wonderful audience who we appreciate so very much.
I've got one pretty good match, and I've got one match that I really liked that I was very pleased that I enjoyed it as much as I did, because after the first match I was like, hope the other match is better.
All right, well, why don't we get right into it? I believe I started us off last week, so Zach, why don't you kick us off with your first match of the week?
Okay, let's start with the match that I didn't love, but I didn't hate. And that would be Shayna Baszler versus Lana Austin at Division Pro. So this match happened in, I believe it was 2017. And first things first, if you end up wanting to watch this match, if you're a huge Shayna Baszler fan, the audio in this match is weird. So
why weird?
The match starts, and the ring audio and the crowd mics are really, really quiet. But you can hear the commentary just fine. Like, it's balanced correctly. It's a normal count. I'm like, all right, I can't hear anything in the ring, but whatever. And then, at some point, I think someone realized this, and around halfway through the match, it tries to fix itself. And what you end up getting is the audio is split. So you get the commentators in one ear, and the ring and the crowd are in the other ear.
Okay.
That's weird, because like the ring is now a lot louder, but they're just in one ear, and the commentators are all speaking in your left ear while the ring is in your right ear. It's just weird for me.
Yeah, that's no bueno.
I mean, I'll take it over it all being in just a singular ear, but, you know, it's just odd. I was like, oh, okay. All right, so before this match starts, each girl gets a pat down from the ref, and Lana starts to tease the ref a bit, which holds things up for a bit, which, as I learned later, is apparently something that she is known for doing as a way to distract her opponents so that she can then whoop their ass with her British strong style.
Sounds about right.
Unfortunately for her, this match does not go well for her at all.
Oh, blah, blah, blah.
Like, the match starts, Shayna just walks up and just kicks her in the head, and she just collapses to the ground and falls outside the ring and basically dies for a little bit. I was like, okay. She died.
Oh, shit. Well, she's dead. She's so dead. That's it. That's
then
game.
Shayna just starts like sarcastically.
What's JBL say? Ball game.
To rally her, exactly. She's like sarcastically clapping for Lana and tries to rally her. And then the ref starts to get to eight, and she pushes the ref away and then goes out to try to baseball slide her. And Lana actually gets faked out by this, because then she just walks up and slaps her in the face before throwing her back in the ring. And I was like, wow, there's just... She's gotten nothing in, and we're only like a couple minutes in. I was like, all right, maybe something will change. So that does actually. Lana hits a wrecking ball drop kick under Shayna through the ropes when she gets thrown back in, after she gets thrown back in the ring. And then she actually throws her in the ring. So I was like, all right, we got a match here. So then she attempts a few roll-ups on Shayna, but they each fail. And then she eventually attempts to Irish whip Shayna, but Shayna's huge, and she just kind of holds her ground as she's pulling her. Mm-hmm. And then elbows her in the face and just knocks her to the ground. She then ties up her arms and puts her in a chin lock, follows it up with a few forearms to the chest, and then does her signature like wrist/handlock where she turns their like hand upside down with their elbow pointing into the air and stomps on the arm. You know the one I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. It's like she's breaking their arm.
I hate that one. It gets me every time.
I love it for that exact reason. It's almost like, ugh, it looks so nasty, but it's just probably so easy to do.
Yeah, Shayna then
holds off, shows off to the crowd all of her holds. Each time, by the way, she changes her hold, she counts, and like she puts Lana in another hold. And Lana the whole time is just like, she's just getting fucked up by these holds.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah, she's just beating down Lana until Lana eventually is able to counter an Irish whip into a high knee to the chest, in which she attempts to suplex, and then once it fails, she is able to actually turn it around into a schoolboy. But Shayna then kicks out, and Lana tries to charge her, but Shayna just spears her.
Oof.
Shayna then gets her in a really nasty grapevine ankle lock. When Lana gets to the rope break, Shayna actually yanks her up onto her feet by just the one leg that she's got a hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Lana then tries to kick her, but Shayna then catches the kick, spins her around, and then just beats the shit out of her in the corner before Irish whipping her and then hitting her with a high knee to the face.
Okay.
This match is very heavily Shayna offense, if you can't tell.
Yeah, it sounds like it. From what you're describing, it seems like Shayna Baszler has the upper hand here.
She, does, the Daniel Bryan yes kicks with one kick in particular when she, kicks her in the chest that knocks her over. Looks really, it's got a lot, it looks a lot better than, the other few that she did.
Mm-hmm.
Lana does eventually get a comeback for a bit here, and she, hits a few clotheslines, starts her comeback after she jumps over Shayna when she charges her. And it gets into this really cool combination where Shayna runs at Lana in the corner and misses a high knee. So Lana then throws her face into the turnbuckle, throws her, drapes her over the ropes on the outside, kicks her in the chest, and then knocks her back into the ring, and then crossbodies her. Then goes for a DDT, and I was like, all right, we have a match here. But then Shayna and her, kind of counter each other for a bit, and she hits, Lana hits her with a Russian leg sweep. So at this point, I was like, all right, we got a fucking match here. I'm like, it's not just
all right, we got a
her.
Match. Let's do it. All right.
Unfortunately for her, then she tries to kick Shayna in the head. Shayna's sitting in the ring, and Shayna actually ducks it and puts her in another ankle lock. Except this time when Lana gets a rope, she literally yanks her off the ropes and just drags her into the ring and gut-wrench suplexes her twice back-to-back,
mm-hmm.
which looks awesome. And then we get to the finish, where Shayna goes for a suplex, but Lana counters it into a DDT, which spikes Shayna into the mat. Shayna then is sent reeling into the corner, and as Lana goes up to the top rope to do, I don't know what she was going to try to do, but Shayna just deadlifts her up off the top turnbuckle, and then hits her with the Kirifuda driver, which, if you don't know, is a Falcon Arrow that transitions into a rear naked choke for the win.
Okay, because the rear naked choke is the Kirifuda clutch.
Yeah,
which is the Kirifuda clutch. Who does that? Is it Baszler?
Yep, that's Baszler's move. That's why it's called the Kirifuda driver, as I looked up online.
Yeah. I for some reason I thought what is Samoa Joe's one of that?
The Coquina clutch.
That's it. I'm gonna say, because he had something I was like,
it's
Samoa
similar.
Joe had, I was like that sounds like Samoa Joe's move, but I remember he had something similar.
Yeah, it's similar but the same move.
Yeah, okay.
I think she has, a promo after the match where she says, I want to show the world that wrestling is not a modeling contest. It's for it's a real fight, and you're going to get your ass kicked if you step in the ring with me. And I was like, okay, I get what they're going with Lana being a bit more of, the latter than the more of the fight thing. Mm-hmm. The match was fine, though I definitely wish there was more offense.
Ain't no room for divas anymore.
She got her ass kicked. Honestly, this match just gives me flashbacks to when Dakota Kai fought Shayna when she was a babyface and she got destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Except that match was better, in my opinion.
Fair.
So, the match gets a meh for me. I wasn't expecting, a semi-showcase-slash-squash match, but I didn't hate it. I didn't love it, though.
Fair. I mean, it's a Shayna Baszler match. A squash match is usually implied, I guess.
Yeah, but, I guess, NXT Shayna has kind of spoiled me a bit, because I've seen Shayna have, really good matches with, other competitors, obviously, so I guess I was kind of hoping for something maybe not the same, but more in that vein of a match.
Mm-hmm. I understand that. Okay.
On that note, show me these bangers, because you were raving about this before we started recording.
Okay, this one, my first match is, when I say recent, I mean this match took place on New Year's Eve. This year.
Shit. Ooh, ringing the New Year with a match.
Literally a couple of days ago.
Nice.
This match was from a GCW event called 56 Nights.
Oh, okay.
And they did. It was their big New Year's Eve event, and they had a bunch of big matches. And it was also a little bit of a crossover event with hybrid wrestling, because this match that I watched was a hybrid wrestling feature on the GCW show.
Okay.
This match was Hall of Dead taking on Willow Nightingale.
Ooh.
And I saw some rumblings about this match on Twitter. I was on the wrestling Twitter, you know, looking around, checking out what was going on with that show, because I was thinking about watching it, but then I had other plans on New Year's Eve. But I do think I'm gonna watch it eventually. But I was keeping an eye on it, and a lot of people were saying that this match was way better than it had any right being. Like, it was just like, it was supposed to be like a bonus match from hybrid wrestling, and it ended up being like a straight banger between these two, and it was awesome. So this match starts off right out the gate, and these two are beating each other up, and and from there on, it does not stop.
Nice.
Like, there's no, like, crazy rest hold. There's no, like, overly long rest holds. There's no, like, weird running out of the ring spots to take a break. This match just goes and goes and goes. It starts off with these two, like, hitting, like, trying to hit each other with moves, but they keep reversing it. And then eventually, I think Willow Nightingale gets the upper hand when they catch each other's arms, because they both go for a clothesline.
Yeah.
And they, like, hook arms together. Mm. And then they just get into a nice sequence, and Willow Nightingale ends up getting the upper hand. There's a sweet reversal where Holodead goes to Irish whip Nightingale, and Nightingale, like, cartwheels out of it and hits her with a super kick.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that, she gets up on the second rope and does a gigantic missile drop kick.
Ooh.
That, like, sends Holodead across the ring. It's crazy.
Nice.
I was, like, watching this match, and I was in on the action. It felt like they so much had happened in, like, so much had happened that I was like, there had, like, six or seven minutes that must have gone by now, right? I checked the time. I was 3.5 minutes into the match. I was like, what? I feel like I've been sitting here watching like a 10-minute match, and these two have only been going for 3.5 minutes, and there's already this much action? Are you kidding me?
I love it.
So, like, I was immediately hooked once I saw that. I was like, what the hell is the rest of this match going to be like?
Mm-hmm.
There's a really, really sweet spot where Holodead goes to Irish with Nightingale again, but she spins around. But instead of throwing Nightingale for an Irish whip, she, like, pulls her back, hits her with an elbow, and then shoves her into the ropes, and then goes off the other ropes, and there's a gigantic pounce.
Nice. Well, that sounds good.
Absolutely just sends her. Sends Holodead flying. It was really cool. Then there was a point where, I think I forgot who it was, but one of them hits a ripcord like headbutt,
mm-hmm.
and they both get knocked out.
Classic.
This is the first time. That's the first time this match that it actually stopped for a second, where I could be like, "Whew! All right."
The match came up for air, basically.
Let's get it together again, because a lot just happened. So they both get back up. Willow Nightingale hits Holodead with a huge spine buster. And then after that, there's a little bit of another spot, and then that spot ends with Holodead hitting Willow Nightingale with a spine buster. She was like, "Oh, you want to hit me? Fine, bring it.
I got you."
Yeah, I got you. So two gigantic spine busters back to back from the two of them. Like I said, this match just doesn't stop. Like, it just keeps going, and it's crazy how much they pack in. This match is 12 minutes long. And it feels like a 25-minute match with how much they pack in.
I would say it's a quickie, but based on what you're talking about, it is.
It's good. It's really, really good. Like I said, they pack a lot into it's 12 minutes, but they pack a lot into it.
I always like when wrestlers are able to do that.
Mm-hmm. There's one point where Holiday gets pissed off because she can't put Willow Nightingale away, so she rolls out of the ring and grabs an old chair.
Nice.
You know, ref is like, no, you better not. I'll do it. I'll DQ you. I'll do it. Don't you hit that chair. But of course, as she goes to swing the chair, Nightingale ducks under it and hits her with a super kick with the chair in her face.
Of course.
And then she picks her up and kicks the chair. Willow Nightingale picks up Holiday after she hits the super kick with the chair.
Okay.
She kicks the chair to the side, mm-hmm. and as it's sliding, she hits a Death Valley driver directly onto it.
Okay, that's fucking awesome.
Like, the aim was perfect. Like, she was like, oh, the chair's in front of me, hold on. Kick, wham!
Smooth as butter. I think. Sounds like a sick spot.
Oh, it was so cool. I was like, that was so neat. But she goes for the pin, and Holiday gets her foot on the rope.
Mm-hmm.
And this pisses off Willow Nightingale. So Willow Nightingale then goes under the ring and grabs some hardware. And by hardware, I mean a door.
Because it's GCW,
baby. Doors are everywhere. So she grabs the door, sets it up in the corner. These two battle a little bit. There's a big spot in the ring where Willow Nightingale gets Holiday in like a German and slams her, but then Holiday rolls through and just dives at Willow with a gigantic lariat. It was so sick. It was just like German roll and wham, but she like dove into it.
God, I love me a good lariat.
Yeah, it was great. Then, like I said, they're fighting near the door, and Holiday ends up getting Nightingale, like, on her shoulder, and just rams her through the door in the corner. And that gets the 1-2-3. Holiday picks up the win.
Sounds like a fucking great match for a 12-man.
This match was so good! I was not expecting, like, everyone was, like, super just not expecting this match to be as good as it was, because it was just supposed to be, like, a bonus match from, Hybrid Wrestling. But it ended up being, like, one of the matches of the night. Mm. And I can't wait to watch the rest of the pay-per-view, because if that was just a bonus match,
God.
Wow. I cannot wait to see what the rest of the card
had in store. Stand up to.
Yeah, apparently there was a big death match last night, too. That was pretty good.
I think I heard something about that.
Mm-hmm. But if I'm giving this match anything, it's going to get a mark out. This match was awesome. These two kicked the absolute crap out of each other. This was 12 minutes, but it felt like a half-hour long match with how much they shoved into it. And like I said, these two just didn't stop. Like, their stamina was insane this match. It was like there was barely any breaks. These two just kept throwing moves at each other. And it was just basically nonstop action.
I love those type of matches.
It was really good. I gave it a mark out easy.
Nice.
So yeah, go check if you are a fan of either of those two, definitely go check that match out. And even if you're not, go check that match out because it's just good A+ wrestling.
I'm very pleased to hear that Holiday.
It's not on GCW's YouTube channel, but if you type in Willow Nightingale versus Holiday, you'll find it. It's like the first thing. It's like some guy's YouTube channel. He got permission from Hybrid Wrestling to post it or something.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, definitely go check that out if you can. Match rules. These two absolutely kicked the crap out of each other, and it was awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. So after that, let's get into your second match this week.
It's funny you mentioned New Year's. The match I picked did happen on New Year's.
Hey!
Last year.
Okay. Almost.
This happened around last year. It was at SoCal Pro Wrestling's New Year's Retribution.
Okay, nice.
This was Ryan Kidd versus Fidel Bravo.
Okay, I haven't heard of either of these two.
Neither wrestler I know much about. But I was in the mood for a bit of some luchador-esque action, and I looked up Kidd and I saw that he was into lucha. So I was like, all right, I'm down. So first off, the crowd in this match was fantastic.
Okay. That always helps.
Dedicated following for both of them, which was awesome. There's even actually a point that I'll get into later where, like, two fans actually start arguing with each other because they so want the their person to win and not the other person. And I was like, damn, this crowd's heated for this match. I was like, all right. Second thing, before I even start, this match, each competitor had such personality and charisma that it just made the match so much better.
Nice. I love, oh, man, when wrestlers have that drip of charisma and they add that little flair to every move. Oh, it's so good. We'll talk more about that later when we get into the match we both watched.
The first thing first, we'll start off with the each guy's entrance. Ryan Kidd comes out, and he is just a bit of a show-off, but he's the face in this match. Kind of like flexing, like showing off his stuff. Whereas Fidel is an obnoxious heel that kind of reminds me of a bit of Ortiz, which is great because I think Santana and Ortiz are amazing, and I think Ortiz's over-the-top obnoxious heel stuff is hilarious.
This is true.
So Fidel comes in, and he reminds me of that. And I was like, I already like this guy, so hopefully this is good.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan puts his hand out, the star of the match, and Bravo responds by just walking up to him and spitting in his hand.
Ooh.
And I was like,
guess not, then.
I was like, all right. I was like, you could have slapped the hand, you could have kicked the hand. Spitting is new, but all right. The two then start shoving each other, with Bravo being like, I'm the champion. You're nothing. You're not even going to beat me. And he actually, like, pushes Kid away and gets up on the top rope and starts showboating, right? And, like, Kid's just standing there in the ring letting him showboat, and when he gets down, Kid's like, you know what, I'm gonna showboat, so he gets up on the top rope, and, of course, Bravo then attacks him from behind.
You wanna showboat? Fine, I'll do it too. Oh, no!
Exactly. Literally that. So,
get baited, idiot.
Oh, absolutely. He beats the shit out of Kid for a bit, drags him around the ring. Kid then responds with a really hard kick to the arm when Bravo tries to flip him over after an Irish whip.
Mm-hmm.
And at that, I might as well mention to this match is such a lucha match, the kicks and stuff, because every kick and every punch just sounds so loud, and I love it, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Can't get over when luchadors like have super loud kicks and chops and such.
So
but
good.
Anywho, he...
I love when a chopper kick makes you go, ooh!
Yeah. Nice. He then follows it up with a drop kick, and it was at this point that I noticed that someone in the crowd actually had something that I'm pretty sure was like a vuvuzela from the World Cup. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, you know, I know exactly what you're talking about. The name will never fail to make me laugh.
Except every time this guy something would happen, he'd blow this horn. And I'm not gonna lie, at first it kind of annoyed me, but at some point in the match, I don't know when, he either stopped or I just got used to it, but it's just something that I just like.
Either stopped or I just tuned it out, I don't know.
I just was so into this match that I didn't even care that this guy was blowing this loud ass horn every time something was happening.
Hey man, they're into it. You gotta love when the crowd's into it.
I will take a into it, engaged crowd that might be a little obnoxious any day over a dead crowd that
over
doesn't give a
dead
shit.
Crowd that are annoying.
Alright, so back to the match. At this point now, the two of them are on the outside, and Kid is firmly in control here. So he drop kicks him, he then is in control for a bit here, and then Bravo counters an Irish whip of his own, which Kid then ducks. He then showboats a bit here, where he like starts gyrating his hips and showboating in front of the guy, in front of Bravo's face. Bravo tries to elbow him, but he ducks it and hits a handspring, springboard back elbow onto Bravo. Gets a lot of height with it too, it looks great.
Nice.
He then gets a hold of Bravo's wrist, kicks him in the leg, then chops him in the chest, and then follows up with a huge, like, luchador-esque drop, arm drag from the top rope, which sends him to the outside, which he then follows up with a suicide dive.
Oh, Kid's nice. Is
dominant outside the ring, hitting a few well-aimed chops to the chest, throwing him into barricades. At one point, he kicks out the back of Bravo's leg, and Bravo's, like, yelling in pain, and he starts to mock him, grab his leg, going like, oh! Oh, and the guy in the crowd is with Bravo. Was like, come on, man, don't make fun of him. He's hurt.
Oh, did I hurt that poor baby?
Exactly. His offense unfortunately ends, though, when he goes to the top rope when Bravo's down, but Bravo's able to get up and crotches him on the top.
Mm-hmm.
He then starts to mock Kid by holding his crotch, going like, oh, as a kid's lying on the ground in pain after getting crotched, which that made me chuckle a bit, I'm not going to lie. He then beats Kid down a bit. Goes to the start, starts to do like a thing where like he's mounting him on like the top rope and he's just hitting his head, and the crowd starts to count, right?
Okay.
And just as it starts, he gets off, stops, and tells and yells them to stop counting, which I was just like, I'm like, nice.
Stop! Stop the count!
Stop! Don't count! I don't want you on my side. Bravo then at this point starts to grind down Kid for a bit until Kid eventually counters by jumping over Bravo as he charges him in the corner. He then hits a really, like, thunderous, like, really high-impact enziguri to the face of Bravo. And at this point, Bravo now is starting to beg and plead. He's like, we're friends, right? You don't need to do this. And Kid's like, oh, no, I'm going to kick your ass. And he walks over to him.
Oh, no, and, no. Bravo... You don't understand. I'm going to kick your ass.
Exactly. Bravo then, unfortunately, though, for Kid, yanks him down and garrots him on the middle rope.
Ugh.
And then he picks him up and just starts spearing him in the corner, forearming him in the face, just beating him down the corner. Eventually, though, Kid's on his knees now, and he starts to, like, slap and, like, do the thing where, like, they, like, the wrestlers, like, slightly, like, kick their opponent's head, just, like, mocking him.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, though, he's actually able to counter one of Bravo's strikes and begins to actually lay in his own series of just, like, strikes to him. Okay. Kid then actually goes for the same maneuver he did before where he, like, jumped over Bravo when he got thrown over into the corner. But Bravo actually sees this, stops, waits for him, and then just hits him with a what I have labeled here as an underhook backstabber.
Under?
So, like, the way I can describe it is, like, you know, like, when a wrestler runs towards the Irish whip and, like runs towards the corner and their opponent, facing the turnbuckle, jumps over them and lands?
Mm-hmm.
He landed... He hooked both his arms behind his back and then just backstabbered him from that.
Ooh.
Which I was like, all right. Yeah. I'm like, I've never seen that version of the backstabber before. I like it. Like, more people could do... I could see that as a finisher. The two then counter each other, fight each other for control for this match until Kid finally hits a neck breaker, which knocks them both down. The two then both get up in the opposite corner and Kid's the first one to actually get an attack in, but Bravo boots him in the face and gets to the top. Kid then jumps up and enziguris him, almost knocks him off. I thought he was going to get knocked off. And then goes for a Spanish fly, which Bravo stops. Bravo then tries to slam him. Kid stops him. And then finally, Kid's able to get the upper hand with a Frankensteiner off the top. Awesome.
Brutal.
Fucking great.
I love a good Frankensteiner.
Mm-hmm. Kid then tries to keep control of the match, just outmaneuvering Bravo whenever he tries to cut off his momentum, just making fun of him, basically, like, just, like, taunting him, like, you know, showing off. At one point, mm-hmm. actually, Kid fakes his leg being injured when he like, crawls underneath through Bravo's legs, right? And Bravo's face of like, ha-ha, idiot, your leg hurt, I'm gonna beat your ass. And then Bravo just counters him with a DDT, which just... Not bad. Kid counters it and just plants him into the ground with it, I'm pretty sure. Oh, wait, no. He tries to sucker Bravo in. Bravo then counters it and just plants Kid with a DDT into the mat. And I was just like, this is a match where the face just tried to fake a leg injury on the heel. I'm like, yes. Do the more of this. So at this point now...
Yes, do more of this.
Yes, more. Because these guys, like I said, were exuding confidence. Like, there's so many more, like, lines they had here where they were, like, making fun of each other, like, interacting with the crowd. Like, I was so happy that the two of them were so into this match. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, though, Bravo tries to suplex Kid, but Kid just stops him. So Bravo then just starts to get frustrated and just starts to, like, do the classic, like, just... Rain's fist on his back, just like sloppily hitting him to knock him down, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kid then goes for a comeback, but unfortunately, he tries to go for a suplex here, and Bravo then suddenly counters it into a brainbuster, which he literally pops Kid up from the map once he hits it. It's probably one of my favorite looking moves of the whole match. Bravo then goes to pick Kid up for his finisher, and then a wrestler... who I now looked up and whose name Tanner Black just shows up on the outside. And I had flashbacks to the Chris Masters match where I was like, oh no. I was like, another outside interference. I was like, oh God. Because Bravo's like, why are you out here? What are you doing? And the guy's like, don't worry. She told me to stay out here. Just shut your mouth and continue the match. And the guy was, and Bravo's
she told
like,
me to stay out here. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, and I'm just like, I literally had flashbacks to the mattress match where I was like, oh God. I'm like, don't overbook it. I'm like, the match is so good. So Bravo then turns around, and Kid actually is able to step up enziguri him, hits him with a springboard cutter from the top, then followed by a frog splash. However, just as he's about to win, Tanner pulls the ref's leg out of the ring and then leaves once the ref ejects him, which swerved me because I was fully expecting Tanner to screw over Bravo,
because
I have no context. And then finally, we come to the finish, when just as the ref's outside the ring with his back turned dealing with Tanner, Bravo rakes the eyes of Kid, and then hits him with a spinning Michinoku driver for the win.
Ooh, a spinning Michinoku. That sounds dope.
Yes. It probably sounds cooler than it actually... It's cool. I love this match. The wrestling, if I had to get this wrestling, I wouldn't say this wrestling was on, like, a level of execution of, like, Pac or, like, Rey Fénix. Like, the wrestling was good, but, like, what puts it over for me is that the crowd was great, the wrestlers, charisma, and just character work was awesome. Bravo in particular, I really liked his character work. This match, for me, gets a mark out. I like this match a lot. Like, I didn't think I would like this match as much when I saw, like, based on, like, the level of wrestling, but, like... Like, I remember distinctly thinking to myself, I'm like, if the crowd wasn't that good, that match would probably get a meh to a high meh for me, but it just pushes it over for me.
We got two markouts to start us off already.
It's a good year.
Oh, yeah. We're starting off 2021 strong over here at Independent Waters. We're busting out all the hits.
Thank God.
All right. Well, next up, for my second match of the week, I have a match from Beyond Wrestling. An event called Wear Sunscreen from Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Wear Sunscreen. Continue.
This was in 2020. This was an outdoor wrestling event. Everyone was wearing masks and stuff. It was pretty recent. Now, it wasn't like super recent, but it was like in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
This match had a lot of rave around it. And
Okay. Recently,
I was like, oh, I need to watch this match, I need to watch this match, I need to watch this match. And then Beyond Wrestling went and said, hey, you remember that match you wanted to watch? Guess what? It's free on YouTube now.
Yeah.
And I went, nice. So we got Priscilla Kelly taking on the filthy father, the dirty daddy, Chris Dickinson, baby.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah. This match...
It's gonna be
awesome.
Match. It's gotta be, right? I was gonna say, it's gotta be.
This match ruled. This match starts off with some technical wrestling in the beginning, obviously, because it's Chris Dickinson. But it's not only Chris Dickinson doing the wrestling. Priscilla Kelly's getting her shots in there, too. She's getting her submission holds, her leg her takedowns. She's going one for one with him on submission holds. It's kind of nuts. A lot of cool reversals, and then there's one point where Priscilla Kelly rolls out of a submission from Chris Dickinson, but then instead of doing anything while she's behind him, she just flips him off and just holds it to his head, and then he fucking turns around and she just shoves it in his face. And he says,
the crowd's probably laughing at him.
And then
Chris, like, what the fuck you laughing?
And then Chris Dickinson went, wow, that's not cool, and just went whap.
Ooh.
And chopped her.
Like, you bitch.
Yeah. Damn. That was rough.
I'd clap, but I would blow out my mic.
Yeah, they were... there was a really cool spot after they end up, like, brawling out for a little bit. There's a really cool spot where Priscilla Kelly starts getting some momentum. She hits him with a couple of kicks. She tries to go for a bulldog, but then Dickinson just catches her and hits her with a spin doctor. A spin doctor... What it looked like to me was like a spinning sit-out power bomb. But Instead of, you know how a power bomb normally is?
Mm-hmm.
It was like that, but turn the person who's getting power bombed around so the legs are facing out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it was like she goes for this bulldog and he lifts her up and then just spins and just wham and just drops her right on her spine.
What I get when I think of this is Blue Thunderbomb.
Yes. Yeah, almost like a Blue Thunderbomb, except, like I said, the person is facing the opposite way.
All right, that is enough that I get what happened here.
Yeah.
Ooh, that must have looked awesome.
It was really cool. This spot right here, though, causes a big, like, break in the action. Priscilla Kelly is, like, knocked out. But...
Oh, shit.
Dickinson doesn't go for the pin or anything. He just, like, rolls away and just, like, grabs a bottle of water and just starts, like, having a bottle of water. Pours it on his head a little bit, cools off. You know, takes some time. Then Priscilla Kelly starts to stir a little bit and starts to recover. And he just comes in and he goes, she's coming back up. Penalty kick. Right to her back. This went from, like, a technical wrestling match to just, like, just a fist-out brawl from between these two.
This is... I love fist-out brawl.
Like, they just, like, absolutely just start beating the shit out of each other. It's insane. There was a... Like I said, there was a point where it was for a hard-hitting brawl when Priscilla Kelly's on the ground and Dickinson picks her up, and instead of doing anything, Dickinson just starts slapping her across the face, just over and over.
Oh my god.
However, that does nothing but anger Priscilla Kelly, because during those slaps, she hulks up a little bit, and boy howdy, she goes on a gigantic burst of offense. Starts hitting them with, like, super kicks left and right, hook kicks, just chopping them across the chest. These two just start, like, just, that's later. Oh, I started getting ahead of myself.
I did that last match, so I completely understand.
Yeah, these two start beating the crap out of each other. Priscilla Kelly gets on the top rope, and Dickinson comes to meet her, right? Mm-hmm. And Dickinson gets up on this top rope, and before he could do anything, Kelly starts throwing elbows at his head, and then she just grabs him by the throat and just goes, "Well," and just choke slams him off the top rope. Like, she just jumps with him, and just hits him from with a choke slam off the top rope. It was crazy.
Let's go.
And then after that, she rolls back, gets back up on the top rope, and hits him with a missile drop kick.
Of course.
Then she gets him in, after the missile dropkick, she gets him in the octopus lock.
Ooh.
Which is like that thing AJ did, the Black Widow.
Yeah.
Then Dickinson, like, flips her over, and both of these two are just exhausted. Like, you can tell, they're both breathing heavy, they're both, like, doing, their moves are much slower now. But when they finally do get back to their feet after that crazy sequence, they just start slapping each other in the face. It just goes like back, forth, back, forth, back, forth. Priscilla Kelly just starts going slap, 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 slap. And Dickinson is just like, whoa, 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 whoa. It looked like two kids on a playground. Just like, for like a second, you know? He's like, stop, stop. That was pretty funny. But then it looks like, Chris Dickinson's about to get the upper hand because he hits her with a couple of good ones. But then he winds one up and goes in, and she catches him. Mm-hmm. And hits him. She catches him and hits him with a big backdrop.
Okay.
And almost takes him out, but Chris Dickinson does end up getting the upper hand back, locking in the STF, and Priscilla Kelly taps out, and Chris Dickinson wins this match.
This match sounded awesome.
This match was insane. This match is like, I think it's like 25 minutes long.
Wow.
And Chris Dickinson ends up cutting like a nice heartfelt promo afterwards, and you can tell it really got to Priscilla Kelly, because there's one shot where it just cuts to Priscilla Kelly and she's like crying. And I was like, oh no, that's so cute, stop.
Just killed each other.
Yeah, you just killed each other, man. But Chris Dickinson does end up winning, and in a spectacular match. These two absolutely blew it out of the water. Gave it everything they had, clearly, because you could tell they were just exhausted mid-match, but they were really fighting through the tiredness. Like, they were, like, not, like, kayfabe exhausted, they were, like, exhausted.
Just legit, like, just the match is just so much.
Yeah, like, and it was hot outside, like, it was probably brutal, you know?
I gotta watch me a Chris Dickinson match on the show one day, because he's fucking great.
Yeah, you might be watching this one, but I don't know yet, because both of my... Anyway, it was a mark out easy. This match was so good. This match was amazing. These two kicked the absolute crap out of each other and just put on an amazing, amazing match. And I think it's the classic. An instant classic, honestly, from beyond. Triple markouts, three in a row off the bat. This is crazy.
This is
historic. Is this the first time we had three markouts in a row?
I think so.
This is historic. For first episode of 2021, we just got, it's markout city, baby.
We got a really good matches.
We both did the matches we watched individually. Let's get to the one we watched together.
Yes.
We watched Karen Noir versus Disco Diablo from Lucha Britannia. Zach, what did you think about this match? Because I just talked for like 10 minutes.
Yeah. I enjoyed this match. Didn't blow me out of the water like the some of the other matches, like the match I watched today, but I liked this match quite a bit.
Yeah, this match was pretty good.
Though there were some things about this match that I wish Like, there were some things about this match that I was like, eh.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so the first thing that I wasn't the biggest fan of was how little Disco got in at the beginning of this match.
Yeah.
Because it really slowed the match down for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, how do I put it? Like, the first half of this match is just Disco not being able to get anything in on Kara, and Kara just not really treating him seriously in the slightest. Which, by the way,
it makes me not...
Kara Noir is a heel.
Yeah, he is, like, for sure. I didn't really like that either, because it made me feel like, oh, if Kara Noir's treating this guy like a joke, why shouldn't I also treat this guy like a joke?
Yeah. It was very... I will say, though, it was very contractual to the crowd that was really into Disco.
The crowd was, like, hot for Disco.
Yeah, and I was just like, I was like in the for a bit I was like, Carl, I was like, I don't know who this guy is, but the crowd seems to really like him, so I guess we'll see how he does.
Yeah. I mean, I think he did pretty okay.
He did. I will say here, by the way, before I forget, the entrances for these two could literally not be any different than each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right?
Like, these two are literally so different.
It was so, like, for Kara, it was so, like, dramatic, like, as always.
Yeah.
He had, like, the mirror mask.
Yeah, like, the announcer was, like, giving him, like, this Phantom of the Opera-esque introduction, and then fucking Disco comes in, and it's just disco music and flashing music, and everyone's just cheering.
It kind of reminded me of, like, what was the guy from WWE with the cone of the conga line?
I mean, there were two.
Rose?
First there was Adam Rose.
Adam Rose.
And then there was No Way Jose.
That's right. I was thinking of Adam Rose.
Before both of those, there was, I think his name was like Brodus Clay? No, what the hell is it? Hold on.
No, Brodus Clay was the with the Funkadactyls.
Yes. Oh, I was
which
right.
Was,
oh my
which
god.
Which was Naomi and Cameron, yeah.
Holy shit, how did I remember that?
Cuz he's like a right-wing talk show host on Fox News now.
Is he really?
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything from him since the last thing I heard of him was the WrestleMania entrance where John Cena let him and his mom perform on WrestleMania with the disco song.
Yeah, no, that's what he does now, is just...
All right, moving on.
Yep.
Like, Kara literally kicks the shit out of Disco at the start of this match. Like,
mm-hmm.
He just works over Disco's arm, just beats his ass, hits... Kara had really good shotgun drop kicks in this match, by the way. Like, he just... destroys him for a lot of this match. Like, let me see. Let me get back to a solid ground foundation here, alright? So, Kara's, like, beating up Disco. He's just kind of, like, mocking him. He's whipping him from corner to corner, and Disco starts to make a comeback, but Kara just boots him in the face and then just continues to just whip him from corner to corner, occasionally giving him a very loud chop to the chest. He then starts working his arm for a bit, and Kara starts to fight back, and Kara's then forced to backdrop him. Then we get the shotgun dropkick I was talking about. And then he ties up Disco, and then he puts his pinky in his nose, and then puts his pinky in his mouth.
That for me was like, yep, now I know it's definitely a Kara Noir match.
Yeah, I literally thought the same thing. I was like, that is not COVID safe in the slightest.
Nope. One thing that really bothered me about this match actually was the camera work as well.
Mm.
It felt like it was trying to be Riptide, but didn't do it successfully, and it was a little bit jarring, because they had, like, weird cuts here and there, and it kept taking me out of it. But
I do recall.
That's, like, a stupid technical thing. Nothing to do with the wrestling at all.
But yeah, but the technical does have an impact on how things are portrayed and, like, the effect of the viewer.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. I don't know, the camera work just, like, was, like, off-putting for me. I didn't really like it. Mm-hmm. It was weird seeing Kara Noir without the Riptide production value, you know?
Let's see. After this, then eventually Kara dumps Disco to the outside. He just kind of waits in the ring, and every time he tries to get back in the ring, Kara just kind of kicks him in the face and pushes him out of the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, though, Disco does yank out and holds Kara's leg over the top rope, which Kara's hurt from this, so it's like the first time Disco actually has a chance to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
He's still in control, but, like, you could see him occasionally limp or hold his leg, which I was, like, good selling on Kara, but granted, I expect nothing less from Kara. He's amazing.
Yeah, that's fair. He is very, very good.
Eventually, though, Kara does go to the outside as he keeps doing moves, like, hitting, like, a jumping kick to the face and, like, doing moves to Disco, but he keeps hurting his leg in the process, because now he's got a weakness now.
He's got a target.
Yes. So then he So then he goes to the outside and tries to recover, but Disco doesn't let him, and Suicide dives him, which, by the way, the ring here is tiny, and the crowd is literally right next to the ring, so I don't know how they found space to do this, but they did.
Mm-hmm.
And then he hits a really, really good tornado DDT on Cara Noir, which Cara does a fantastic job at selling, so I remember when I saw that, I was like, all right, I'm like, shit. I was like, you fucking go, Disco. That's some good shit.
Let's fucking go, Disco.
Yeah, I was thinking that was the first time I was like, all right, I fucking see what people like in Disco a bit now. I was like, all right, keep going.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see. Disco continues his offense for a bit, hits a step into Guri, and then goes for, I don't know what it was, but Cara gets out of it. And when Disco goes for his leg, Cara dodges it and then just super kicks him in the face for his troubles. Then there's this, oh, I remember this now. So Cara gets thrown into the turnbuckle somehow. And he hits so hard, he hits the ring post, like, head first.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks, from the camera angle, it looks like he hits it, but he doesn't, obviously. But it still had impact to it, and I was like, ooh.
Oof.
I'm like, I hope he didn't actually hit that a bit.
Jeez, that would be rough.
Oh, my God. I mean, I get flashbacks when Matt Hardy broke his face open after hitting a turnbuckle.
Yeah.
Not the turnbuckle, the post. But anywho. Like, every time at this point now that Cara tries to, like, pick Disco up, Disco literally just pulls out his bad leg or goes for it, and he can't get anything. So at this point now, the two of them are on their knees, just beating the shit out of each other as they get up. And in the end, Cara, I wrote down here, slaps the soul out of Disco, and then Disco pops off with a slap attack, which then Cara then headbutts and knocks them both out. And then, cool spot here that I liked, personally, was when Cara then, the two of them were literally leaning on top of each other so that they would stay up. Like, they were both knocked out cold on their feet, and they were just leaning on each other is the only reason why they were still up on their feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's see. Disco goes for a 619.
Oh, yeah, I love that reversal from Cara, where he just, like,
yeah.
He just, like, backs off the ropes, he just kicks him. He's like, get that shit out of my face.
Middle of the ropes. Awesome. Cara then goes for the vial driver on the apron, on the outside.
Yes, that was crazy.
Disco's able to backdrop him. That was awesome. This is the point where the match really starts to pick up, at least for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is definitely where the energy starts coming in, you know?
Yeah. Disco hits a cutter, followed by a DDT, which literally turns Cara inside out. And he goes for his finisher, which is a frog splash, but Cara rolls out of the way. Eventually, as Disco lays on the Cara gets up first and tries to wait out a 10 count as Disco is, like, both down after because he missed the frog splash.
Mm-hmm.
And Cara tries to go for the count out loss. It's not like, what is it when the person can't get up? What's it called?
Knockout? TKO? I don't know.
Yeah, we'll call it knockout. And, of course, Disco gets up at 9 with the crowd cheering him on. And then Cara just starts to just beat the shit out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. I remember this spot now. Disco superplexes Cara after this, and then Cara suddenly just picks him up and hits him with an Ushiguroshi, which further hurts his leg and prevents him from getting the win, but looks awesome when he just transitions it.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, then, it's a lot of Cara trying to go for the vial driver, and Disco just popping... Oh, wait. Yeah, Cara goes for the vial driver, Disco pops up, turns it into a Hurricane Rana, 619s him, and then Canadian destroyers him, followed by a Fisherman-esque suplex.
Nice. Yeah, it was super rad, energy. Wasn't it? Oh, it was so God. Cool.
Yeah, this is where it really got into it, and I was like, alright! I was like, this is some lucha-ass shit that I'm looking for. Mm-hmm.
There was the really cool spot where he hits the 619, but then instead of doing, like, the splash or anything, he just does a Canadian destroyer.
Yeah. I think that was what I listed up, but it was so many...
That ruled.
So many moves.
There was just so many things happening this match.
Yeah, exactly. Like Cara, like, hits, like, at one point, like, a running headbutt in the face, which looked brutal, and then Disco is able to hit a really unique version of an inverted DDT on Cara, which I haven't seen before. Mm-hmm. Disco goes for the frog splash again. Cara just still gets out of the way, and eventually, this is really cool. I remember Cara's like laying on the ground, right, and Disco's going up for the frog splash, and he pops up off the ground and just enziguris Disco in the face.
Yeah,
and then he goes for a Hurricane Rana, but Cara picks him up and power bombs him onto his knees, which hurts it even further at this point because Cara at this point is now really hurting.
Yeah.
I actually was surprised that Disco kicked out of this, too. I totally thought Disco was going to lose this.
Mm-hmm. There was, yeah, that was it was brutal, for sure, watching that move happen.
Then there's a spot I want your opinion
on. Okay, go ahead.
So Cara strangely goes and gets his belt. And looks like he's going to just brain Disco with it. And then the ref's like, give it back. And he just gives it to him. And that's it.
Yeah, Kara's just like, I'm going to hit him. I'm going to hit him. Ref's like, no, don't do that. And he's like, okay.
I was like, I have literally written under this. All right, fairly
you got
pointless.
It. Here you go.
I was like, did you really need to do that?
Yeah, I think it was like a character moment where it showed like Kara's heel, but he's not that heel, you know. He's like he's gonna be like, if he's gonna beat you, he's gonna do it by his own merit. He's not gonna use a cheap way out.
I like your way better than me going like, what the hell was the point of that?
That's what I don't know. That's what I got out of it, was just like, yeah, he didn't want to stoop to that level, you know. He like, if he was gonna beat him, he wanted to do it on his own and not by cheating.
Yeah.
I don't know, that's what I got from that spot where he just gave the belt back.
I like your interpretation on it a lot more than mine. So we're going to go with that.
Yes. However, this does let Disco Diablo get the upper hand, and yep. He ends up winning with the Frog Splash.
Yeah, he hits an inverted DDT and hits the Frog Splash.
Oh, yeah. And ends up winning the title, which is, like, crazy.
Yeah.
Which, thank goodness, the ref had it.
Yeah. This match was odd for me, because there are parts where, to me, this match dragged, and I was like,
Yeah, same here. I had that same feeling.
But like I said, like, I can't even deny, the wrestling in this match was good, and like, there were some spots that really had me like going like, oh shit, let's fucking, I fucking love wrestling. Like, this is
fucking
awesome.
Oh shit, this is wrestling, baby!
And it really got me onto it, but like, those parts were dragged, I was like, whatever. Also, I just remembered, there was this really odd thing where commentary was literally just talking over the loudspeakers, which was hit or miss for me.
Yeah, I don't know if I was into that. I mean, like, I guess you got to crowd the commentary, but like, I don't know, for the video or for anybody watching it like on TV, it's just like bleh.
Yeah, like sometimes they were fine, and other times they would just like be talking about something that's not involved with the match, and like the problem with that is it's over the loudspeaker, so I have to listen to that. Whereas before I could just kind of just tune it. You could just, like, if you're in the crowd, like, you just not listen. It's hit or miss. Mm-hmm. I give this match a high meh.
Yeah, I think I'm with you there. It didn't get that mark out. It didn't break that threshold for me because of how it dragged on at some points.
I'm just remembering now. Like, there were, like, the points where, like, Carl was just standing there, and I was just like, nothing's happening. Disco's literally gotten his ass kicked for 5 to 10 minutes straight right now.
Mm-hmm. Disco's just been getting his ass beat for 10 minutes, and I don't know how much longer I could watch this.
And then finally, like I said, like me and Mikey said, once the match like really picked up, it's awesome.
Yeah. I wish the part where it picked up lasted longer, though. I feel like as soon as it started picking up, it ended.
Yeah, it's like towards the end of the match, too, I think.
Mm-hmm. It was all markouts and high mez over here.
Except for the one man at the start of the match.
Yeah, except for the one. But that, we'll forget about that. Anyway.
I'm not going
to pay attention to that. So that is all of our matches this week. That brings us to the Double Down.
The Double Down.
It's now time to find out if the match was, you know, actually good or bad. I don't know. It's time for the Double Down.
This is where me and Zach go back to last week and pick one of each other's matches and watch it from the other's perspective. So, Zach, who went first last week for the Double Down?
Let's see. I did the tag team match at Stardom, and you did what match again?
I did last week. It was
Morgan.
Yeah, the Eve match.
You went second then?
Yes.
Because I went first.
So, I'll start us off this week.
Dope.
This week you gave me Joel Nelson versus Chris Masters.
Ah, this match.
This match was weird.
Yep.
Like, it starts off, like you said, with Joel being a total chicken shit heel, running away from Masters as much as he can. Masters finally catches him and gets his hands on him, starts beating him down. Then Joel gets the better of him when he starts working the legs, and then Chris Masters did the wrong leg bit, which is really funny. Yep. Where he's like, hey, that's the wrong leg. And he's like, you want me to work the other one too? Fine. I'll learn both.
Yeah. Fuck it. I'll work both legs.
Yeah. Then Masters gets back into it after reversing that figure four, after he rolls it over and reverses the pressure. He hits a huge sit-out spine buster at one point, which is really cool. And then all of a sudden, when they're both down, the ring just gets surrounded.
Yep.
By like four guys, and then four other guys come out and start beating up the guys that were surrounding the ring, and it had literally no impact on the match at all.
None whatsoever.
Not even a little bit. They were laying down. The guys come on the apron. The other guys came and beat them up all while they were laying down. They get, by the time they get back up, all the people who were outside the ring are gone. So that random brawl did literal nothing for the match. And then all of a sudden on the screen, we see some other asshole who shut off the lights for no reason. And he's like, oh, I guess if you gotta do it, you know, if you want to get it done right, you got to do it yourself. And he shows up at ringside with the title belt. Mm-hmm. And Chris Masters is like, what are you doing here? And then he's like, hey, you want to punch me? Go ahead, punch me. Yeah, do it, punch me. But he also threw the belt to the other guy, to Jarrell in the ring. And then Jarrell goes to hit Masters, and Masters ducks out of the way, and he hits the guy who threw him the belt. And then Masters gets the Master Lock in and wins. So it turns out that all of that was for nothing.
It was literally pointless.
It was pointless, and it meant nothing, and it was really dumb. What's the line from Jurassic Park? They were so convinced of whether they were so preoccupied with whether or not they could, they didn't think to ask if they should.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know about that one. Maybe you could have cut all of that and just had a good wrestling match. But, you know, whatever. Anyway, I don't know. I didn't like it. I gave this match a miss out. I wasn't into it. I thought all the interruptions were stupid and meant nothing. And it really took me out of the match. And it was just kind of ridiculous for no reason, you know?
If I recall correctly, I gave the match a meh because I thought the wrestling was fine, but I distinctly remember telling you how confused I was by all of that.
Yeah, like, it just completely took me out of the match. Like, I was, like, kind of into it, and then, like, all of a sudden they were like, no.
No.
Here's some stupid shit that is gonna completely make no sense. And I was like, alright, cool. So yeah, for me, it's a miss out. I don't really like it that much. What match did I give you to watch?
Oh, you gave me a treat of a match to watch. You gave me, let me see if I can remember if I can pronounce this correctly. You gave me Lady Valkyrie, aka Aoife Valkyrie, versus Killer Kelly at PWU.
I don't know. Yeah, that match was, honestly, I think we talked about it. I think besides the ending, this match was pretty good.
All right. Okay, so first things first about this match. I liked this match a lot more than I thought it was. I was going to initially, because the only thing I can remember from this when I was watching this match was I distinctly remember you saying that Valkyrie was a chicken shit heel a lot of this match. Mm-hmm. So I thought to myself, all right, this match is just going to be like some good stuff in the beginning and then a lot of me. Because I remember thinking to myself, that match sounded like it could have been pretty good if she wasn't just a heel the entire, just running away the whole time. Mm-hmm. And then this match said, Zach, sit down and go fuck yourself. Get ready for an awesome match.
Yeah, like I said, this match was good except for the ending.
This was a fucking awesome match. Match started off, great technical match. I am a sucker for catch wrestling-esque like technical matches, and these two really put on a fucking awesome performance.
I think that's why I gave you this one, because I knew you would appreciate it more than I did.
Oh, great submission spots. Great strikes. Here's some examples. Submission spots in the beginning that I liked. Kelly countering an ankle lock that Valkyrie had on her by bending her other leg, using her free leg, so that she could then get her into a headlock. Awesome. Smart wrestling.
Very cool.
I love Valkyrie's head scissors on Kelly because it looked brutal, and every time she ringed it back, Kelly bridged so that it looked even worse. Great. Mm-hmm. Valkyrie did a fantastic job at being a horrible heel that you just really want to see get their ass kicked by the face, and Kelly did a phenomenal job at being just the intimidating force of just, I'm going to kill you, that I was just all for to see Valkyrie get beat up.
Yeah, this match definitely ended up being pretty good. A lot of good work from these two, for sure.
Yeah, like Valkyrie's yelling like, experience, over and over again, and Kelly eventually gets so sick of her shit, just looks at her and tells her, experience this, and she's forearms her in the face, and I swear to God, she hit her in the face with this.
Oh yeah, very strong. That one, her doing the experience thing definitely got under my skin to the point of like, ooh, you're being a good heel right now, because boy howdy do I want to see you get knocked out.
Same. When she got knocked to the ground, I was like, yeah.
Yeah,
I was
finally.
Like, let's go. And it's at this point that I actually realized the story being told here by these two competitors, which is Valkyrie's basically walked into this match 24 days into her title reign, super confident in herself, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's so confident that she's literally like letting her confidence carry her through this match and saying, like, I'm going to fight Killer Kelly in a head-to-head fight, and I'm going to beat her because I'm good. But the moment Kelly forearmed her in the face after all that punishment she did and almost knocked her down, like almost like just knocked her head off, she suddenly had this fear put in her of like, oh shit.
She went, oh, this was a mistake.
It was like, it's kind of like when she realizes, oh shit, I'm swimming with a great white right now and I've just kind of been fucking with it the whole time. And it's at this point then that she starts to get heavily rely on all the dirty tricks in the book that she can use at her disposal so she can get an edge on Kelly so that she can put her away.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome, because this played into Kelly getting pissed off at her and getting, like, just, what's the word I'm looking for? Escalating, like, what's the word? I'm getting just more and more angry at her as she started just being a chicken shit heel. This led to the fight outside of the ring, which was awesome. I love Valkyrie using a fan in a wheelchair was like cartoon villain levels of heel evil, and I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I especially like the spot where Kelly got dropped on the apron face first after Valkyrie pulled her leg out from underneath her.
Yes.
Looked brutal. I loved how at this point on from the match you could see Valkyrie like facially portray how desperate she was to win this match and how much she really wanted to win. Like, she literally started to spam her finishers after she got Kelly back in the ring.
It's like in a WWE game where you just set the finishers to like 10 and you're just like triangle, 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 triangle.
Exactly.
why just for the Xbox players,
knock her out. Just spamming it, and the AI just keeps getting up, and you're like, stay the fuck down.
Literally.
Which I love, because it played into her being like, this woman is a threat. She's going to beat me if I don't knock her out quickly, and suddenly that she can't even react to it fast enough.
Yeah.
And on top of this, Kelly selling for this, by the way, was awesome. She really selled Valkyrie's offense when she was in like submission holes, when she was getting beaten. Because she made sure to make Valkyrie not look like a complete chicken shit. Like, she was like, she's a threat. It's just Killer Kelly could kill you in an alleyway with her bare hands and get away with it.
She's a threat. It's just that Killer Kelly is immensely more threatening.
Exactly. By the way, this gets into like later in the match. The Dragon Sleeper in the corner looked fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I remember you were telling me about it when she gets her in the corner with her legs over the top and puts her in the sleeper when she's on the top rope.
Yes.
Great.
That looked awful.
I love that shit. I was like, ooh, and then she hit her with a Romero special right afterwards, which was just a surfboard dragon sleeper, because I'm a sucker for a dragon sleeper. If there are two finishers in wrestling that I think are my favorites, it's probably the cloverleaf hold, which Jon Moxley does,
mm-hmm.
and these dragon sleeper is the other one. Thank you, Drew Gulak, for showing me what the dragon sleeper was.
Hey, Drew Gooks.
I love Drew Gulak. And so eventually this leads into the ending where, like, she gets the count out. And I can't believe I'm about to say this, but I actually didn't hate the count out ending.
Really?
Which, because it made a lot of sense to me. And I'm going to put it on the record here. I don't like when matches end with, like, a count out or, like a wishy-washy, like, whatever ending. Unless it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So this is how I interpreted this match, right? Valkyrie, when she took this count out, before this happened, she finally hit her finisher on Kelly that she has been literally trying to hit all match. Every time she hit this, Kelly grabbed it, but she finally hits her with it. And Kelly kicked out, and not only that, literally mere moments later, Kelly then put her in her finisher, the Dragon Sleeper, not once, but twice.
Two whole times.
Both times seemingly like she was gonna lose if she didn't get the rope break.
Mm-hmm.
Which meant, in my head, this went like, oh my god, it makes so much sense. And she was like, nah, fuck this. Hell no. She's gonna beat me. I'm done. I tried everything. My finisher didn't put her out. I'm gonna take my ball and go home.
I'm gonna take my ball and I'm gonna go home.
Yeah. Oh, god. I love this match a lot. The action was great. The technicality of this match was on point. The selling between each woman was great. Mm-hmm. The facial expressions were fantastic. And on top of the fact the booking was just smart and just really well done. And I can't ask more from that. I'm giving this match a mark out.
Yeah. Yes.
I was not expecting to like this match as much as I did when I initially heard, when I remembered what I heard about your
analysis. I think I gave it a high match.
Yeah, you gave it that, but I remember the chicken shit heel stuff from Valkyrie sticking out in my mind a lot. So I thought this whole match is going to be her running around the ring and being like just annoying about it. But no. Like, I was...
Yeah, like...
Fucking bro,
there,
man. That was...
There were definitely some parts where she did do that, but then, like, she brought it...
Oh, yeah.
It definitely got brought back around. And she definitely wasn't playing around that match. Like,
she didn't overstay her time on the outside.
No. Until the end, where she literally did overstay her time on the outside.
Also, I actually understood the ref stopping Kelly now, because Kelly at the end literally looked like she wanted to rip, rip Valkyrie's throat out, dude.
Tear her limb from limb.
Like, as Valkyrie was walking away, she was like screaming, like, I'm good. Like, she was just like screaming, like, bloody murder. And I was
the
just
ref
like, oh,
stopped
God,
her because
like,
he was afraid he was about to witness a literal murder.
Literal murder. She's like, all right, that's enough.
Killer Kelly, like, rips out like a shank and she's like, bring it, come on.
Exactly.
Ref's like, okay, this is getting a little intense for me.
This is wrestling. You don't kill each other. This isn't a death match.
But yeah, I figured you might appreciate that match more than I did. So that's why I ended up picking that one for you.
Fuck. Great.
Yeah. All right. Oh. Well, that wraps us up this week. We did the double down. We did all of our matches this week. We had some pretty good ones. I think we had 4 markouts this episode.
Yeah.
We had
like holy.
We had what? 4 markouts, 2 mez, and a miss out.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, that's good. That's a good.
That's pretty good. That's a pretty good episode.
Yeah, hell yeah.
All right, and if you enjoy this show, if you're new here, thank you for joining us. And also, if you would like to see more of this, remember to subscribe to this feed, the Countout Network, or the Independent Waters in the Independent feed, where we do this every Wednesday. So tune in and download the episodes, and make sure you subscribe to get notifications to tell you when we're back. And if you like our wrestling talk, go follow us on Twitter, where we talk about wrestling basically all the time, over on @CountoutPod over there on Twitter, where we share our thoughts on the wrestling world and the world in general. And if you like video content, we also have a YouTube channel, Countout Network, where you can find a bunch of cool video content from this podcast network. And if you like this show, go check out the other shows in the network. We have Hit the Books every Friday, where me and Ryan Knightsey book SmackDown and Raw every week, and we have our own rosters, we have our own pay-per-views, we do everything ourselves, so go check that out if you're into fantasy booking. And if you're into New Japan, Ryan has his own show called G1 and Only, which comes out every other Monday, where he talks about different people who have been in the G1 Supercard one time and one time only, some names like Ric Flair, Big Van Vader, Hangman Adam Page, stuff, people like that. So go check that out if you're into New Japan. I think he recently had an episode about Ric Flair, or it's coming out. Don't really remember. But go check that out if you're into New Japan. That is right here on the Countout Network feed as well. I think that wraps it up for the... Oh, and go check out the website at countoutpod.com, where you can find everything that has to do with this podcast, Hit the Books, and G1 and Only. Everything that has to do with the Countout Network is over on countoutpod.com. Zach, anything to plug?
Nope.
As usual. Now that all the plugs are out of the way and Zach's got nothing for himself, I think that just leaves us with one thing and one thing only. Remember, there's a gigantic sea of independent wrestling out there.
So never stop exploring.
This has been a Count Out Podcast.